Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. The thing that leaps out at me is...
What is that?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Maybe the Niners hold on to Garoppolo? How can you say it's Trey's team, we've moved on?
Right.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
There's no real reason to have that person around. I think you got to cut bait.
Today's guests, University of Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell, Packers running back Aaron Jones, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live in Los Angeles, California, as we go into our first full weekend of training camps. It is the Major League Baseball trade deadline weekend. It's August around the corner from us right now here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 85. That's NBC Sports Audio 2, NBC products right there. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience, coast to coast. We say hello to those listening to us on the Odyssey app and then the podcast version of this show through Cumulus Podcast Network. We love our friends at Westwood One to help us distribute this show in a podcast form where all podcasts are acquired. And anything that you miss over the next 3 hours, you can check it out on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. In other words, if you don't consume the show in some way, shape, or form, it's a you problem, not a me problem. It's a YP, not an MP. And that's how we start with a Boogie Nights reference here on this Friday program. Chris Brockman decided to do what everybody usually does when it's 115 degrees in the desert in late July, which is take a day off and go to Vegas. So he decided to do that, which opened the door for him to get Wally pipped once again, because sitting in his chair here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show is the lovely and talented and the light of my life, the rock of the universe of the household, Susie Schuster. Good to see you, Susie.
That's a great title.
That's a great title.
Which one? The rock of your life, the love of your life, disruptor of your
His moon and
household.
Stars.
I don't know about disruptor. I mean, that's a YP.
TJ.
Thank you.
Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi.
Good to see you.
Where's my nameplate?
Oh yeah.
I need my best mom ever nameplate.
I'm sorry, this I was busy preparing for the show. Here it is. You want me to walk it over?
Yeah, walk it over to your wife, Rich. That's your moon and stars.
There she goes. I mean, I sat down. I started already.
Yeah. That's not a good look, Rich.
Thank you,
Sue. Not a good look.
Also, you just see how she stomps around with her.
And grunts real loud.
She likes stomping. She's a stomper. All right, so now we could start the show. There we go. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Again, 12 straight shows, a Cal Ripken, Wally Pipp instead of the Lou Gehrig-like streak that got broken up yesterday. Good to see you, Jason Feller, in his spot.
Good to see you.
TJ Jefferson, do you got something to light the candle? You don't have something to light the candle.
Hey, Mortimer, we're back.
We're back. All right.
I kept waiting. We got the new Bic.
I got to be honest with you. We had two very good shows without a lit candle. So,
Mets didn't beat the Yankees, but
that's true.
Twice. So.
Did the Mets win last night?
We had an off day.
Oh, okay.
Went to rest and reward ourselves.
Let's get things started on this program with a reversal, going back in time. As many parents know, when they try to tie their children's allowance to their study time, it's usually sometimes a two steps forward, one step back process. Hey, look, if you get your iPad time, that means that you have to do your work first. And thus, if you don't do it, you don't get an allowance. It's sometimes one step forward, two steps back. Well, the Cardinals found that out themselves with the independent study clause that we've been talking about all week.
Yeah.
That came out of absolutely nowhere, because the whole conversation that began, I still have it on my desk, with this piece of paper, the treatise from the agent of Kyler Murray that was disseminated worldwide, but specifically at the folks of the Valley.
Put it in the Hall of Fame,
right? Uh-huh, right there. And I don't mean the Valley, the San Fernando Valley. I'm talking about the Valley of the Sun. Specifically saying Shout Tyler wants to be your quarterback and things aren't going very well with the Arizona Cardinals. You got to wonder when Kyler scrubbed his account, was that them saying, hey, I think, you know, that whole business with the Rams that where you threw a 2-yard pick six and it looked pretty ugly, maybe you should study more. And he's just like, I'll show you all my photographs off of Instagram.
And that's how they knew he was spending a lot of time on that.
Man, who knows all of that? But finally, he gets the contract. He's generationally enriched. There's a ton of money that comes, and the conversation here is, does he deserve it? Because he hasn't won a playoff game, and he's only had 3 years in the league. And what, you know, he's now getting paid more than Josh Allen, who damn well near made the Super Bowl last year, if they could only have defended for 12 more seconds, and so on and so forth. Skipping over the fact there was an AFC Championship game and Joe Burrow was standing there, but neither here nor there, I think you all understand that it was all about him finally getting paid until what came out was an independent study clause where clearly the team felt it needed to place in black and white, codify, if you will, him doing the extra work that every other star quarterback in the NFL, we assume, just does, including him, before this stuff came out. Well, there was a big to-do on this program, other programs that Kyler Murray felt compelled to go out to a microphone and address himself, and we thought he did a very good job of that yesterday, don't you think?
Yeah, very much so.
Where he's essentially saying, hey, look, if you think I've gotten to this point in my career just winging it without a work ethic at my size and my shape, you know, and he also threw in there, the Oakland A's drafted me top 10 and I'm first overall in the NFL. Nobody's ever done that. If you think that's, I've just been winging it, just surfing my way through all this, then I appreciate the compliment, but it's also very insulting.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yeah, I mean.
And, you know, message received clearly in the front office of the Arizona Cardinals, because lo and behold, right around dinner time yesterday, they took the clause out of the contract, ripped it up. See ya. After seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been, and nothing demonstrates our belief in his ability to lead this team more than the commitment reflected in this contract. It's like, yeah, do you see how much money we're paying him? Got it. But what's the ways in which it was intended? What are the ways in which it was intended?
That scared me.
Yeah, the audio executive is not assuming that somebody was going to rip a paper up into a microphone, but well done, TJ. That's what ended up. I don't know if they did rip it up or they, you know, in this day and age, you just remove it from a PDF. I'm wondering. I bet you he had to sign another version of the contract.
Probably, right?
Yeah. We're going to send one over to you. Can you sign it again and send it back?
Because you can't take something out of something that's already been signed.
You know
what?
That's why, you know, there are lawyers. I'm not one of them. You know, my brother sometimes is listening right now, going to work, driving to work. So maybe he wants to text in. I'm assuming he probably, look, the bottom line is he's just got to win football games. And if rubber meets road this year, next year, at any point in time where he's not performing well, and we're all in the media talking about this sort of thing, and it does bother him, and at some point he will sit back and go, well, look, you know, Michael Bidwell, the owner, who had to have been the one who either insisted it gets in there or was somebody who, when told about it, that it's in there, said, okay, put it in there. And somebody had to inform him, because I'm assuming he is not in meeting rooms. He is not strolling around in film rooms. He is not going around the practice field, you know, locked in on every snap. Somebody had to tell him, hey, Kyler's study habits are not up to speed. You know, and somebody had to tell him that. So this thing had to appear in this contract. It didn't just come out of thin air. And at some point down the road, rubber meets the road. Will this chafe at Kyler Murray? Will he not sign a second contract? I mean, this is all for down the road. And this is now what's going to be sitting out there forevermore. The famed independent study clause of the last week of July of 2022. Who will never forget that. We'll always remember it. Where we were when we first learned that Kyler Murray signed something in a contract that sounded like a contract, Suze, that you and I come up with for our kids at home. Honestly.
I was honestly thinking to myself,
yes,
not familiar with a kid who doesn't try hard at all and then gets A's, and you have to give the iPad back that you took away because the kid's not trying hard at all.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have to wait and see what happens with Kyler with this contract before we worry about the next contract?
Well, it's going to be more of the first half of this season where this is coming home to roost, because there's no DeAndre Hopkins for the Arizona Cardinals. He's suspended for the first six games. And so the success of this team and potentially its viability as a playoff threat in the second half of the season is going to be born out of a lot of Kyler Murray shouldering the burden. With this as a backdrop, and clearly, if he comes out and he torches the place, it'll be, well, this pissed him off, or this lit a fire, or what have you. And if it doesn't, it'll be, what's going on with him in Arizona? And this will be a question for him, and it's not fair. And it really is, you're hearing from everybody, whose fault is it? Well, somebody had to tell the owner that his study habits were not up to snuff, and somebody had to tell the lawyer of the Arizona Cardinals, come up with this. And then somebody had to inform the agent of Kyler Murray's that it's in there. And then Kyler Murray's agent had to inform Kyler Murray, and his response may have been, screw it, what do I care? I mean, it's $46 million. I'm going to turn this thing down over this when I do it anyway, or I think I can do it anyway, or it doesn't matter. I'll do it.
It was either stupid or brilliant. Somebody either lit a fire doing this surreptitiously.
I do believe that the line that was in the statement about they didn't intend it, they didn't intend it for it to be public, and they didn't intend it to embarrass him, and they intended it to actually put into the contract something that when they were going to put all of this money into escrow and cut this check significantly, they just wanted some sort of a backstop, some sort of a safety net, something in the language of the contract that can make the owner feel comfortable stroking that check.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there was a there. I mean, there was a reason why they did this.
It didn't just appear out of thin air.
You don't just write a clause like this
now
if you're not concerned about it.
Now, what comes next is for toe meeting ball, and we're excited to see that. But in the meantime, Suze, I think you and I could agree on behalf of all parents everywhere that we appreciate the lawyers and legal staff of the Arizona Cardinals to come up with language that I think we can use. Could you put up the third part of the famed independent study clause language? Independent study means just substitute player with a child. Studies the material provided to him by, instead of, you take out club, put parents. So independent study means child studies the materials provided to him by mom and dad in order to prepare for the child's next upcoming instead of game test, including without limitation any such material provided via an iPad or electronic device. Time spent in mandatory meetings room shall not constitute independent study. That's it's mandatory school, right? Where the kid goes to school. I think you see what I'm saying. Child shall receive no credit for independent study for any period during which child does not personally study the provided material in good faith.
I think we need to start a website. Let's start selling.
We're here.
Are you kidding me?
For the avoidance of doubt, child shall not receive any credit for independent study with respect to any time periods during which any material is displayed or played on an iPad or other electronic device, meaning no iCarly while you're trying to do humanities.
That's right.
For instance, I'm not pegging anyone in particular. Child is not personally studying or watching the material while it's being displayed or played, or child is engaged in any other activity that may distract his or her attention. I mean, we have a daughter in our house. For example, watching television, play video games, or browsing the internet, a.k.a. YouTube, while such material is being displayed or played. Suze, we're made in the shade.
I'm printing this out. Yeah. It's
genius. Who needs to win Mega now? There's the billion-dollar idea. It's right in front of us.
We are made in the shade, and their guaranteed money is allowance. So we could tie it to so many different... Like, I want to thank... this episode on behalf of all parents everywhere.
TJ, let's start a company in the commercial break. Let's get a website.
Think of the name. Go ahead and LLC this real quick.
I'm already making the website as we go. Don't worry.
Ray Felly's going to start it. It's going to be like...
he's going to have a second Maserati by the end of the day.
Can you believe that?
This is just a branch of that later.
Rich Eisen Maserati.
Okay, is that what it is?
It's just a branch of RES Consulting, really.
You know. I think we're in, right?
Well, TJ and I are in. You're busy. Do the show.
I mean, he's got a good point.
TJ, this is a great idea. Like, what are we going to call it? Something Cardinals related. Let's really capitalize on
Cardinals. I got it. Cards for Kids.
Oh,
K-A-R-S?
1-877.
No, C-A-R-D-S for Kids.
Cards for Kids.
Nothing makes me more insane than Cards for Kids spelled incorrectly.
Stop. Cards for Kids.
I can't take it.
Cards for Kids. You're welcome.
Donate your car today.
So while we're watching the Cardinals season play out, all parents and children have a new contract with each other. And watch the study time and watch the grades of America's youth go straight up.
Yeah, guess what happens in our house?
Nothing.
Nothing. We have contracts.
I'm trying.
Charts, stars.
What do you want from me? I don't want to close the book on this story. This thing's been all week. All right. We'll talk about it with Kurt Warner. Speaking of Arizona quarterbacks, in hour number three of this program, Aaron Jones, one of our favorites on this show, will join us from Packers training camp. We'll ask if his role's changed now that Devontae Adams has moved on to another Hall of Fame quarterback in Las Vegas. And will they run the ball more? Is he going to give us any information on that? I'm going to try. Luke Fickell from the University of Cincinnati program.
Luke Fickell.
He's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes' time here on this program. We'll talk a little college football with a guy who's going to move by this point next year. He'll be a Big 12 coach. So there's a lot of movement going around in college football, as we know. We'll hit on that. Keep an eye on any of the moving parts with the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo if that happens, or Deshaun Watson with Sue L. Robinson, who is just chilling on her decision-making skills right now on Watson's suspension. Chris Brockman, before leaving to Vegas, Sue's left on his desk a what's more likely list of scenarios for you to toss my direction.
Was he worried that I didn't sign my contract so I wouldn't come correct? Is that what happened?
Could be. He did his independent study last night before going to Vegas. And your big-ass grab bag, TJ Jefferson. Look forward to that. And you at 844-204-RICH, you want to talk to any of us? That would be great. We'd love to hear from you. And on top of it, Luke Fickell from Cincinnati Football will be joining us next on The Rich Eisen Show. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio outfit. Kurt Warner is going to join us in hour number three, and Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers in hour number two. This is one of our favorite guests that we chatted with during the draft season, with Cincinnati having so many top draft choices available for NFL teams. And Sauce Gardner went off the board to the New York Jets just like I had hoped. My goodness gracious. Now it's time to find out who's going to be next up in that spot where Desmond Ridder has now vacated a spot after some excellent years there. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line on the outset of a Cincinnati Bearcat football season is the head coach there, Luke Fickell, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You got it. What's going on in your world? I'll just open it up macro-wise. What's going on right now for you?
Well, it's what I call the calm before the storm.
Okay.
Right? We were back in for like 2 weeks with our guys, and then this week I kind of give the coaches off before we really get rolling on Monday. So we kind of report, and then our start day will be August 2nd. And so be crazy enough, you know, the coaches are all gone, so, you know, the head coach, you know, not as bright as the rest of them. He's in town all the time. He's in the office. He's in the office way too much, and then all of a sudden my wife comes into me and says, hey, I got a flight for you. And me, we're leaving Thursday as soon as you get done with media day, and we're not coming back till Saturday afternoon. I'm like, okay, I guess if I'm going to stay married and this thing's going to work, I better get on that flight and spend a day and a half with 2 days with my wife.
Where'd you go?
We are in Marco Island.
Right now? Like, literally?
Right now.
You're calling? Oh, my God. I wanted you on the show. I wanted to talk to you. But, I mean, we could have waited till you were back off of it. I mean, your wife wants your undivided attention. I'm barging in here.
this is the best that I could be. You know, if I'm in Cincinnati and I'm in the office, I'm not nearly as relaxed. So I felt like, you know what? I'd be a heck of a lot better interview probably if I'm in Marco Island with a little relaxation. Well, my wife takes a 20-minute jog or walk away from me.
Well, here's what you need to do, Coach. You need to do what I'm doing, which is have your wife sit on your television and radio show like she's doing right now. Suze, you want to say hello to Coach Luke Fickell of Cincinnati Football?
Hey, Coach, just make sure that her drink is filled at all times.
You know what? I'm learning that. It's been 20 years now. I've figured some of these things out. I know I've needed a lot of time to try to figure them out, but I think she's not going to be here to dispute it. I think I'm getting better at that.
we're all just trying to make you better. That's
just,
all, Coach.
Just carry her stuff.
Well, I appreciate that.
Carry her stuff. I walk three steps behind her at all times. Okay. And make sure that you take a lot of pictures of her, multiple different angles, so that she can improve.
Yes, high angle.
Which is really good at that. Like, you need to become her official Instagram photographer.
Yes, that's what you got to do.
Because that's why you're there.
I'm gonna take your advice. That's gonna be the best thing. She's gonna know something happened. You're like, what happened?
Aren't you so glad that you came on the show? What else can I help you with?
She comes back to you like, somebody flipped something in your drink. This is not who I've been married to. I'll slowly kind of work those things in.
Luke Fickell of Cincinnati Football here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fantastic. So when you get off of vacation, do you still have a quarterback battle going on? How are things sussing out for the next Desmond Ridder, if you will, Coach?
Yeah, I call it life without Desmond Ridder is now begun. So, you know what? It's really exciting. It's interesting. You know, we got a unique situation, and we've got a guy that obviously has been behind him for a couple years, and Evan Prater, and kind of the Cincinnati kid, you know, in a lot of ways has done a great job the last 2 years. But there's another kid that was actually Des's backup for 3 years, who left last year, went to Eastern Michigan, started and threw for 3,000 yards or something like that, and then came back. And I know it's crazy, this landscape of college football, but Ben Bryan and Evan Prater really, I mean, have got the respect of the entire team. And for the first time in a long time, we're going to go into camp with a legitimate, like, hey, this is going to be really interesting, and we got to figure some things out, but it's going to be a battle.
And then how do you adjudicate this battle? I mean, do you talk to the I mean, honestly, as you said, it's been a bit. So yeah. What are the telltale signs here?
Yeah, no, I mean, like we had the battle. I was hoping maybe something would, you know, kind of, you know, show itself in spring ball, because they both were in spring ball. And it didn't. I think both of them got better. But you know how that goes. A lot of it is how the team, you know, how's the team form? And what, because they both can do everything, but they do have different skill sets. And I think Ben is more by nature a natural passer, where Evan, you know, is by nature a natural athlete to start with. And both can do, you know, what we do. But I think, you know, there's some differences with that position of saying, okay, now what best fits the team as the team continues to become us?
Luke Fickell of Cincinnati Bearcats football, the head coach, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your program kind of in the middle of a lot of chess pieces moving. At this point next year, when we talk, I'm going to say if, I said when we talk, and hopefully not on while you're on vacation, that you're going to be a Big 12 coach, Coach Fickell. So how does that rearrange your recruiting? How did that maybe aid your recruiting? What is the future of Cincinnati now that you know you're in the Big 12 with all the moving pieces?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because, you know, we've addressed it with our staff, and I've thought it out, and for us, it doesn't change, really. We're going to recruit the same areas, we're going to recruit the same kids, and some people would ask that, like, well, you're going to be more, you know, in the middle west, and you know, maybe even down into Texas with some of the schools. Does that mean you're going to change and maybe recruit a little bit different? And no, we're going to stick in our 300-mile radius. We're going to still do the, you know, I think 81% of our team's from that 300-mile radius. We've always recruited those kids that maybe we didn't end up getting, whether for whatever reason, you know, but we felt like those guys were what we were shooting for, and whether we, you know, lost them to somebody in the Big 10 or somebody in the Big 12, we've always recruited that way. So I think that we'll, in our minds, stay the same way. We love the kind of kids that we got. We love the core and the crux of, you know, what our program is built around. I just think that what has happened last year, obviously with the success we've had on the football field, going into a new league, I kind of use the example that, like, the doors we used to have to kick down to get in to talk to them, they open them now. We still got to go in and seal the deal, and you know, we'll have a few other, you know, a few other bells and whistles to be able to do that with. But I don't think it changes how we go about our business.
Well, it also helps, though, to make sure ensure you get a seat at a college football playoff table, even though you kind of kicked that door down yourself this past year, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
No, it does. Those are all the kind of the stigmas that sometimes can hurt you in recruiting. You know, the league and the, you know, non-power. I don't say those words, and I still will never say them, even when we go to the Big 12. You know, those things are always, you know, some of that stuff that would be, you know, not negative recruiting, but the things that kind of get held over top of your head. And so we're kind of using that to say there's some of those things are going to be taken away, and I like to probably apply the pressure to us now. Like, okay, there's no excuses now, right? I mean, you're in battles in our own state head-to-head with Ohio State, and, you know, what's going to be the difference? And it's going to be about relationships, and you can't use the fact that, well, they keep, you know, throwing the Big Ten and the AAC things at us, and, you know, that's the reason they make the choices. So it's great. I think our kids will be. They're not talking about it now, but will be just so excited about some new venues and some different competition, I should say.
Do you think that we're heading towards one, two super leagues? Do you think we're headed towards that? I mean, I'm sitting here in Los Angeles, Big Ten country. You know what I'm saying? So it's now nationalized, at least in one conference. Do you think we're headed towards that?
Yeah, we're not staying in my opinion, we're not staying where we are. But then again, think about it. The evolution of the game of football it's not, everybody says the game's changed. No, it's not. It's just evolving. You know, well, the game's changing now that you got USC and UCLA. No, it's just evolving. Are there some things that are, you know, going to be taken away with rival? Yeah, but I think we're still going to evolve. I think the next 3 years is going to be really, really unique. And some way, somehow, I think that there's going to be two or three, you know, groups or leagues or whatever it is that may be just a little bit different, whether they're, you know, some way, somehow, not say on their own, but I think we're headed that direction. I just think that there's no way of stopping some of these things that are continuing to evolve.
What's your stance on name, image, and likeness needing some sort of, I guess, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren and Greg Sankey of the SEC have been talking about federal legislation. What's your stance on NIL needing more guardrails to it, Coach?
I would agree 100%. I think we all thought when the thing, you know, opened up, when NIL opened up, that it was, you know, it was great. It was a great opportunity for all of our kids. And I still think it is. It's just, I don't know that it's, you know, kind of being used in the way that which we all envisioned, where, you know, a guy like Desmond Ridder, who has incredible success on the football field as a leader of your team, you know, he's able to do some ads and, you know, obviously, you know, endorse some things based on his, you know, the things that he's done. And, you know, I think it's gone another direction. So some way, somehow, whoever's going to come in, whether, you know, it's into the NCAA or whatever, is going to have to, I think, really kind of figure out what direction we want to go as a, not just college football, but I think college athletics in general.
Have you gotten a player say, you know, I'd love to come here, but you need to match another NIL deal from somewhere else? Has that happened to you, Coach?
You know what? I think we're a little bit still in the sweet spot. It's happened maybe a little bit. I think we've definitely, in the last month, lost a kid that was committed to us because, you know, he was told that, hey, you're gonna make, you know, $100,000 when you come, by coming here, and we can do that because we're in the SEC and this is what you're going to get. And to be honest with you, I think the issue we've got right now is what's real. You know, I mean, if people are and have these deals for these kids, for the kid to actually see it in writing, I think we need to do, just so that, you know, you get them there, then they're, you know, disgruntled because they don't get what they're promised. So that's why I think that it's all good. I just think we got to find ways to make sure we're not teaching kids to say one thing, do another, and, you know, to make a decision, because money's going to help them make decision, but make a decision on the things that are real. And that's where I think the guardrails and all that we're doing for all of us I think we just need to find a way to be able to do that.
Before I let you go on with the rest of your day on your little vacation time remaining, Luke Fickell, last we spoke was before the draft. You were telling us some terrific stories about getting to know Ahmad Sauce Gardner when he first arrived at your program. And if I'm not mistaken, you said you had told him you would not call him Sauce until he made it to the NFL. Have you called him Sauce now?
So I was fortunate enough to be at the draft night.
Yes,
and I was actually standing back there with those guys. So after he got drafted fourth by the Jets, he stands up, hugs his mom, hugs a couple other people, and then he walks over. And he was going to walk out and obviously give him a hug, and I said, "Hey, congratulations, Sauce." That was the first time nice. That I had ever referred to him, maybe on a slip, but pretty much the first time I'd ever referred to him as Sauce, and. It was a nice little moment, but it's great now for when guys come in with nicknames, and I can use that as the example.
Yes,
all you got to do is be the fourth player taken in the draft, and I'll call you whatever you want.
There is precedence now for you, no question about it. And he is a terrific player, and so is Desmond Ridder. Just obviously, you had more players taken, but I'm kind of highlighting those two because you've got the first player taken. He's in New York City, and then the other one's a quarterback. Have you connected with Desmond at all during his process of getting set to be an Atlanta Falcon?
A little bit. I mean, obviously, he just got married, I think, last week. I think a bunch of our guys were down there with him.
Okay.
He's been back and forth. He hasn't been back as much. Like, Sauce was back about every weekend. So
really?
We would have high school camps on the field on Saturday, and you look up, and there's Sauce coaching up the kids and out there with them. And, then you got a recruiting weekend and all of a sudden you say, "Hey, Sauce is in town." And it's like, he was around much more. Mm-hmm. I think Dez, maybe obviously with the quarterback situation and taking his family down there, I think he was, a little bit more ingrained and stayed down in Atlanta. But I think all of those guys They do a great job at staying in communication, and are really proud of what they've created here. So they enjoy to reach out and to come back as much as they can already.
Coach, appreciate the time. What's on tap today? Snorkeling? What do we got? A spa? Absolutely. Spa treatment or two? What do we got? What do we got?
I don't know. Let me ask your wife how am I supposed to say this? Whatever she wants to do. I think is that the way I should put it? Phrase it?
Whatever you want to do, honey.
Whatever you want to do, honey. So. Whatever she wants to do is what's on tap. Hopefully that's nothing, but I'm gonna try my best to take the advice that I just got and see how it works for me. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let us know. Fill us in. We want to hear after the trip, was it successful?
I have a feeling
and why?
Coach, I have a feeling we've set you up for success. I have a feeling we've given you what you need.
Well, I do take coaching well, and I do need coaching, so I appreciate that.
We're team players, despite there being an I in Eisen. So thank you for the time, Coach. You be well. Enjoy the rest of your respite before getting into it. Let's do this again soon.
I appreciate it.
You got
Thanks
it.
For having me.
You got it. The great Luke Fickell. Love chatting with the Cincinnati Bearcat head coach right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Suze, I think we have helped.
I feel like I can go now. I've done my job.
No. It's two more hours. Kurt would be so upset if you were not part of that conversation in hour three.
I'm telling you, the wives of the coaches, that is a heavy lifting job.
How many times did Mooch say he moved his family?
Gail Mariucci.
Like 20? Didn't he say like 20 times they moved?
Yeah, with 75 kids, they moved so successfully, he could just keep coaching. Mm. She just keeps looking perfect and keeping up the house. I know that job of being a coach's wife, nobody talks about it. It is heavy, heavy lifting.
And also, I appreciate you saying that I take great photographs of you. I'm your official Instagram photographer on vacation. You're the one who gave the check mark to the hat that has gotten so much conversation here on this program.
Yeah.
For quite some time. I think it would look good with this shirt.
And the shirt that he's wearing. TJ, don't you think this is a good look today?
He stepped his game up because you were coming in, I guess. I guess he knew.
It's a shirt.
Yeah, it's a shirt.
What's it stepping a game up?
You stepped your game up a little
bit. It's a shirt.
You're wearing a stuffy blazer.
Kelly's got the Deadwood hat.
The Deadwood hat.
That's
Deadwood
a tough
hat.
Look.
Oh, it's tough. Yeah, look out. Oh, there you go.
I like that.
And you're the one who took the photograph of me holding up the drink. You got me the drink.
I did get you.
You stopped. Yeah, I mean, this entire photograph is your styling.
Deep Thoughts by Rich Eyes.
Okay, very good.
I may have gotten him the drink because I was about to buy something from the gift shop. I mean, I'm no dummy.
Okay.
So you got him the drink.
Why don't you tell that to Coach? Look out for the drink.
I'm just looking out for
her. I should have told him that.
You know, I'm just looking out.
How would you have handled that if you're like, we're going away, and I'm like, I got to make a call to promote something?
Is there a gift shop?
That's right.
Is there a son?
Those are the five most dangerous words in a question. Yeah. Is there a gift shop?
Do you guys drive to work together today, by the way?
No, actually, there's a story on that. We'll tell that over the next 3 hours.
I'm getting the seat just by the answer.
I know you like those commute stories. There's a story about
it. Hold on. One of us got here first. One of us left the house last.
Okay. There's a story behind that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. We'll take your phone calls and so much more as we get set for hour number two on the program with Aaron Jones of the Packers. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. This weekend, a lot of baseball intrigue. Who's getting traded? Who's not?
Yeah, man.
I was watching Shohei Ohtani last night while I was playing poker with the poker buddies. Sixth straight game, double-digit strikeouts. He loses 2-0. And you're seeing all these rumors out there that the Angels are willing to talk about him. And this is after Trout. We find out he's got some rare back condition. Do you want to look into that, Jason Feller?
I looked into that yesterday. I didn't even understand.
Because you're a back expert. That's how rare it is.
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
That's what I was going to say.
So what, a bacchiotomy?
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
And so Trout says it's not career threatening, but okay. When you hear rare back condition, how do you not think that could make things a little more difficult to finish out your contract when you're in your entering your 30s? I don't know, man. So with this as the backdrop, word is the Angels are willing to listen to Shohei Ohtani offers on Shohei. And all I'll say is this. I guess it's your top four prospects they want.
Take them.
Yeah.
You want some Hall of Famers, too?
And if I'm the Washington Nationals, I'm like that GIF from Jonah Hill, like, we're trying to sell Soto right now for your top four draft picks, or your top three or four prospects, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, Juan Soto, and I heard Buster Olney say over and over again during the Mets Yankees game that was aired on ESPN the other night, TJ, saying just. Think about Willie Mays in his prime. Think about Hank Aaron in his prime. Think about all that. I'm like, okay.
It's crazy to think,
yeah,
right?
That's absolutely. And why wouldn't you want to trade your top prospects except for the fact that, you know, he might leave you in 2+ years when his contract's up and Scott Boras is saying, I want all the money in the world. Ohtani can do what Soto does with the bat in a way, right?
But Soto can't
do what Ohtani does on the mound.
No.
I'd be like... Okay, you want my top four prospects for him?
Sure.
Yes.
Like I said, I'll throw some old Hall of Famers in if you want.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine this guy in Yankee Stadium?
Why would you say that? How about this? Imagine him playing for the Mets.
New York City.
Because he's greedy. He's very greedy when it comes
to
this.
Could you imagine him in Fenway Park?
No, I could not imagine. I don't think he would enjoy Boston that much.
But how do you guys not think about Babe Ruth here? You don't want to. This is the beginning of the curse.
Of course.
You don't want to trade away Ohtani.
But what are you going to do with him, Susie?
Ridiculous.
The Angels have pretty much... Mike Trout should be one of the most recognizable and famous athletes on this planet for as great as he is. Nobody knows who Mike Trout is, which is a shame.
It's a nightmare.
It's almost like they're wasting some of the greatest baseball that we've never seen because no one's watching it.
They lost 2-0 to the Rangers last night.
How?
And Ohtani struck out double digits for the sixth straight time. Last guy who did that in Major League Baseball was 2019, Gerrit Cole. Ohtani, you can't even quantify what his contract should be, or you can't even quantify
there's no
how many prospects
comparison.
You can get, because you can't compare a guy who can. I think I saw, I'm going to botch it, but I'll, whatever. Which is, by the way, words that should never be said by somebody who's a professional facts there. But I saw a statistic that I think Ohtani leads the league in batting average with runners in scoring position and leads the league with best batting average against as a pitcher with runners in scoring position. So in other words, he's got the best at knocking in a run when you can, and the best at preventing you from getting on base with runners in scoring position as a pitcher when you can. Get out of here with that.
I mean, how do you put a price tag on that?
So four Yankees, top four prospects, whoever they are, the answer is you bet. What else do you want? And if you are the Yankees, and you mentioned Ruth, call somebody on Broadway and say, can I sell your production as well? Because let's do that. He's the modern day Babe Ruth. Let's figure out. What do you, you know, I don't know. Is Wicked still on Broadway? I don't know. You've been on Broadway sooner, more recently than I am.
Somebody ought to get Phil Nevin on the line. And if he doesn't get on the line soon, I'm going to start telling Phil Nevin's story.
Careful.
So there's a threat there.
Well, Phil is, you know, he's the interim manager. And so I think everything is completely up in the air. The whole damn thing is interim. And to your point, like, if you're going to trade away Shohei Ohtani, just close up shop. Like, just close it up. Just figure it out. Close up shop. Why would you want anybody to come to your stadium if you're like, we have easily the most unicorny of unicorns in maybe all of sports. Wait, hold on a minute. If we're talking international, all of sport.
Sport.
And we're so bereft of opportunity and a plan or whatever. And yeah, we've shown you we'll pay the money to Trout. Don't forget, before Soto and at the same time, I think, as Harper, Anthony Rendon was sent away by Washington, or he left Washington and he's now here as well. Those are three guys that, if they're healthy and they can't, damn it, stay healthy for them. You know, that kid Walsh, they have some pieces around there. What the hell? Like, why would you trade him?
He's going to be a free agent at the end of next season. He's probably going to leave.
So I don't know. I don't know about that. He apparently loves it out here.
I'm just going to say this. Billy Epler, the Mets GM, is the one who was responsible for Ohtani being with the Angels. He was with the team when Ohtani came over. He was the one who made the call. He helped sign him. Now he's the Mets GM. I'm just saying.
You want to get used to life, TJ, the way Rich is used to life as a Jets fan.
Oh, boy.
You're not going to win. It's cute, your little Mets relationship. But you know, it's okay. You're not going to get Ohtani, even though you like the GM.
I'm gonna be honest, Susie, I thought you and I had this type of bond, but this is like the second time you kind of tried to take a swipe at me.
It's okay.
What swipe? I'm your biggest fan. I love the candlelit.
I thought we were here.
There's nobody more supportive.
That's a swipe
at me,
TJ.
That's a dig at him.
It's a swipe at me. It's a cheap Jets swipe at me.
It's a Mets swipe too, though, Rich.
Here's the deal. This weekend.
I'm still upset about Buckner. What do you want from me?
I forgot. We're dealing with a Red Sox fan over
this
there.
This weekend, if Shohei Ohtani is available,
86.
Are you kidding me, is number one. And number two, the Yankees probably just like, okay, we got Benintendi. We're not going to go for Soto. We're going to figure out how we can figure out with pitching or whatever. But if you can get a left-handed bat with immense pop for Yankee Stadium and fill the spot in the rotation for your playoff run and also for your World Series run and put fannies in the seats like George M. Steinbrenner III once said, this is a no-brainer. And then also for the Angels and their fans, a friggin' lobotomy. One's a no-brainer and the other one is like, what? Really?
It's insane. Do you want to win? Do you want to be a competitor? Do you want to be a part of Major League Baseball? I can't stand this give up mentality. You have 2 years left. Figure it out. Where's Nevin? Manage.
Nevin's got no juice there right now. He's lucky to have this gig.
Right?
Joe Maddon. The fact that they couldn't win with Joe Maddon. This team was ready to go. This team was locked in for the playoff. We were in middle of May talking about this team. Finally, we're going to get to see Trout in the playoffs, and we're going to see Ohtani in the playoffs, and everything just fell off a cliff. I don't know what's going on. They need to, you know, have some sort of a seance there.
Right.
And if they trade away Ohtani, you've got to be kidding me, and I would fall all over myself. Name it. Dodgers, by the way, the price would have to go through the roof for the Dodgers to go get him. Any team would want him. And certainly any team, you can't sit with Soto, you'd even be saying, great pop, but we're taking away all these prospects and we kind of need pitching. Like, you could even say that. You could even say that about Soto, who is incredibly talented and you normally would want to just trip all over yourself to go get. But you do, even if you're the Dodgers and the Yankees, it'd be like, really, all those prospects? I don't know. When we could use a couple of prospects here and there and fill the holes that we need and win right now and still have some prospects in our back pocket moving forward. We could do that. But with Ohtani, it's like he fills your lineup, he fills your rotation, and he fills your stadium.
Like I said, you can't put a price on, like, just from the Japanese market. This, you're talking about a guy who should probably become another billion-dollar athlete, but he's not going to happen playing for the Angels. So he's going to, for that to happen, it's going to have to go to New York or come to the Dodgers.
Popcorn ready over the weekend. This is all going to play out over the next 48 hours as the trade deadline is fast approaching in Major League Baseball, as is the end of this first hour. Call it a hard out in the business. And hour number two, Aaron Jones of the Green Bay Packers will join us. Suze's got the what's more likely scenarios that Brockman left behind before he went to Vegas in July. Coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.